Let's learn. This week is Parshas Shemini. Vayhi bayom hashmini kara Moshe le'Aaron levana v'zikne Yisrael. It's a very powerful parsha. There are a lot of things going on in this week's parsha. It's according to Chazal, it's the center of the Torah, the Pnimius HaTorah, the center of the Torah. Doroish Dorash Moshe. The words Doroish Dorash is according to Chazal is the center of the words of the Torah. This week's parasha we learn about Vayidoim Aaron, the koich of Aaron HaKohen to be silent in the most tragic situation. We learn about the kosher animals and non-kosher animals, a long collection of animals which represent many, many different things. And we learn about the most important thing is the inauguration of the Mishkan for Klal Yisrael. In addition, this week we cannot forget it's Parshas HaChodesh. Okay, this week is Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Nisan. Shabbos Mevorchim, we take our two Sefer Torah and we have a special Haftorah, very difficult Haftorah in Sefer Yecheskel. In Sefer Yecheskel, where it talks about the Nasi, the Melech HaMashiach, the arrival of the Melech HaMashiach and the unique offering of his Korbanos when he comes on Shabbos, when he comes on Rosh Chodesh. It's a very mystical, complicated Haftorah. A lot of things going on. Let's first, one thing at a time, whatever we can do. First thing is a riddle. A milsa bibdichusa. Not a milsa bibdichusa, but everyone is familiar that the most important midah that a person has to yearn to have is the midah of humility. Me'oid, me'oid, hevei, shefal, ruach. Every midah. Okay, every midah we know there are many different good midos, and Chazal tell us the best thing is always to seek a medium, is to be in the middle, not too much to one way, not too much the other way, is to seek out to be somewhere in the middle. The exception is humility. Me'oid me'oid hevei shefal ruach. Person should seek to be humble to an extreme. However, even that, Chazal come and they limit, they qualify. And they tell us, a Talmud Chacham is allowed to have a Sheminis Shebeshminis, an eighth of an eighth, 1/64th. And a remez to this is, everyone knows this remez, is what is the eighth parasha in the Torah? The eighth parasha in the Torah is Parashas Vayetze, correct? Is Parashas, Parashas Vayetze. And what is the eighth pasuk? Is that correct? And what is the eighth parasha in Torah is Parashas Vayishlach. And what is the eighth pasuk in Parashas Vayishlach? Kotointi. Kotointi mikol hachasodim mikol ho'emes asher sisa es avadecha. And the word that is the eighth pasuk in the eighth parasha. And what is the trop? Asla Gerish. But some say the trop should really be, the two different Gersois should be a Rivi'i. So, yeah, I already forgot how this whole thing goes, the whole drasha. But the base, let's put that aside for now. But base drasha over here is that even though here we find a remes to the midah of the eighth of the eighth, Kotointi. In this pasuk, where is the remez of gaiva in this pasuk? I'm even forgetting over here.
Is there a small letter or something like that?
Kotointi, no, there's no small letter over here. Kotointi. So how is that a raya, a revi'i? Or asla, asla gerish is maybe, I think it'd be the other way, because asla gerish is a trap which, kotointi, which means you raise your voice in a shtickle gaiva. I think that's how the word goes. Is from all of the trop besides the word the actual name of the musical note, but there's also a certain inflection, and the inflection of kotointi, you raise your voice. Raising your voice is a shtickle gaiva. Kotointi, that's a contradiction to what the word says. The word is kotointi means I'm a nothing. I have been diminished. I have no merit. It's an expression of humility, yet. In one's expression of humility, there has to be a shtickle gaiva. Sheminis, but how much gaiva? Don't get carried away in your gaiva. not more than a shminis shebishminis. And Parshas Vayishlach is the eighth parsha, and the eighth pasuk is Kotoyinti. And when the person expresses his humility, he has to raise his voice with a little bit of gaiva, a shminis shebishminis. What I just told you is classic. This is something that you'll find in all of the Svarim, this idea. Every person should yearn and seek to go to an extreme in the need of humility. It's a Mishnah. Me'oid, me'oid, hevei shefal ruach. But even in the extreme need of humility, there has to be a little teeny kernel of pride. Otherwise, a person's a shmata, and people will step all over him, and he's not going to be able to survive in this very violent, dangerous, chaotic world. So you have to raise your voice, a shtickel, katointi, and it's merumas in shminis shebishminis. I came across another remez to this concept in this week's parsha, because this week's parsha is parsha shmini. Right? You can't get better than that. It's parsha shmini. Vayihi bayom hashmini. And what is the eighth pasuk in parshas shmini? Vayikrav Aharon El HaMizbeach. Aaron didn't want to go. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu had to encourage Aaron to do the avoda. Okay, Pasuk Ches, it starts with Pasuk Aleph. Vayikrav Aharon El HaMizbeach. Moshe, Pasuk Zayin, what does it say in the Pasuk before? Pasuk Zayin says, Vayomer Moshe El Aaron, Kirav El HaMizbeach. Now is not the time to be humble. Pasuk Zayin says, Krav Shahoya Aaron Bush. Aaron was embarrassed. The Yore Logeshes. Omar Loi Moshe, Loma Atabosh. Lekach Nivcharta. You were selected. You were selected for this purpose to do the Avodah. Now is not the time to be humble. Now is not the time to engage in Me'oid, Me'oid, Hevei, Shval Ruach. Now is a time where you have to step up to the plate and go to the Mizbech and serve Klal Yisrael. Krav El Mizbech. And indeed in Pasuk Ches, Vayikrav Aharon El HaMizbech. In front of the entire Klal Yisrael, he stood up and he took on his position of leadership. Sheminis Shebeshmini. Sheminis Shebeshminis. It's Parsha Shmini, and it's the eighth pasuk of Parsha Shmini. And here Aaron listened to Moshe. Now is not the time to be humble. It's not the time to be bosh. It's a time to serve and understand who you are, what your role is, what your purpose is, and go forward. Okay, I think this vart is even a nicer vart than the classic vart of Parshas Vayishlach, the eighth pasuk, as lagerish katointi. And here you have another remez in Parshas Shmini, the Shminis Shebeshmini, the eighth pasuk in Parshas Shmini, Vayikrav Aharon El HaMizbech. Okay, now let's go to another vart. This vart, okay, now this is very confusing. This is the first time I really understood this, because we learned in the afternoon Chumash and Rashi. We know that back in Parshas Titzaveh and in Parshas, last week's Parsha, Parshas Tzav, Aaron was instructed to inaugurate the Mishkan by bringing three special korbanos and a unique mincha. A par as a korban chatos, two elim, one ayil as an oila and the other ayil as a korban shlamim, accompanied by 30 loaves of bread. This is discussed in very great detail in Parshas Titzaveh, starting with the fourth aliyah, and is basically repeated almost word for word last week in Parshas Tzav. And Rashi explains, that's why I'm not giving any commentary on Parshas Tzav, because I already explained everything in Parshas Titzaveh. Parshas Titzaveh was where Hashem told Moshe, this is what you're going to do on the Yom HaShmini. And last week in Parshas Tzav is when Aaron actually did what he was supposed to do. He went and he brought these korbanos to inaugurate the Mishkan. Then all of a sudden, by the way, what was the purpose of those korbanos? So Rashi there very clearly said, the purpose of at least the korban chatos was to atone for the chet ha'egel. The Parah, just like we have a Parah Aduma, and the Parah Chazal say the same idea that the Parah, the mother, should come and clean up the mess of her child. So likewise, in Parashas Tetzaveh and in Parashas Tzav, where the Psukim tell us about the unique set of korbanos that Aaron would bring to inaugurate the Mishkan, including Echatos and Shlomim, and in Echatos and Oila and Shlomim, and the Echatos is a Parah, the Parah is going to atone for the chait of its child, of the Egel. Fine. Now we come to Parashas Shmini, and what's going on? Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe is telling, Hashem is telling Moshe and Aaron, okay, I want you to bring more korbanos to inaugurate the Mishkan. Vayhi bayam hashmini, kara Moshe li Aaron ulevanav lezigne yishav, vayomer al Aaron, kach lecha Egel ben Bokar, an egg, not the para, an egel, as a chatos, and an ayel, no shlomim this time. Just Aaron should bring an egel and an ayel. I thought we already inaugurated the Mishkan. Nochamo. And Rashi, what's the purpose of this egel? This is a different set of korbanos. What's the purpose of this egel? This egel, Rashi says, kach lecha egel lohidia shemischaper loy hakadosh baruch hu al yidei egel ze al maasei ha'egel sha'asa. Nochamo, bring an egel, and by bringing the egel, it will be a revelation. The egel is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive Klal Yisrael for the chedo egel. Excuse me, in Parashas Tetzaveh and Parashas Tzav, Aaron brought a par with two elim, a unique set of korbanos to inaugurate the Mishkan, which was mechaber for the chedo egel. So why now is there a new set of korbanos being brought again, an egel with an ayil, which is a korban chatos, with a korban oila, and then not only that, then Klal Yisrael also has to bring a set korbanos. You will bring for them the Albanei Shol Tabar LeMarkuchu Seir Yizim lechatos, for the Jewish, for them a soir and an egel and a keves. Bnei Shnah Tumim Leila, they're going to bring Klal Yisrael for the chedo egel a Seir Yizim. Not necessarily for the Chedor Egel, but they're going to bring a Seir Izim as a Chatas and an Egel and a Cheves as an Oila. What's going on? And then there's going to be a Shlomim for Klal Yisrael. V'shava Ayil Lishlam. Klal Yisrael is going to have five Korbanos. What's going on? We already did this. So the answer is, now this is not my Vart entirely, partially, but not entirely, because I don't want to ruin it for anyone else to corrupt what they said. Is Rashi over here is in one more word in this Rashi when it describes the purpose of this korban. It says v'lohudia shemischaper leKadosh Baruch Hu al yidei egel zeh al ma'isei ha'egel she'asa. Okay, she'asa. Back in Parshas Tetzaveh, and maybe I'm not sure in Parshas Tetzaveh or Parshas Tzav, when it tells that Aaron shall bring a para, it does not. It says that the para is to be mechaper al maisei ha'egel. It does not say the word she'osa. Rashi in Parashah Shmini, when it describes the additional set of korbanos that is being atoning for the same thing, it's in one more word. She'osa. What's going on? So it would appear something very, very deep is happening over here. And just to add one more point, to bring out the point, it says here in Pasuk Gimel, V'yel b'nei Yisrael tidaber leimar. When Aaron brings his set of korbanos this time, this additional set, he's not alone. In Parashas Tetzaveh and in Parashas Tzav, it is only Aaron that is bringing a set of korbanos. What?
It's Moshe, no?
No, it was Moshe telling Aaron.
No, in the previous parsha, it's Moshe.
I think it was Moshe instructing Aaron. Okay, we have so far, even if it's Moshe, but Moshe, I think it was Aaron there. In Parashas Tetzaveh, it was Aaron who brought the korbanos. I don't think it was Moshe.
Because Moshe just sanctified Aaron on the seventh day.
And then Aaron brought the korbanos. Go back to Parashat Tzav. Moshe, he dressed Aaron in all the clothing, he anointed him, and then Aaron was the one who brought the korbanos. It wasn't Moshe who brought the Korbanos. Okay, we have to go look back. Okay, let's put that in a little back.
Actually, Bashi Sisa, it says both. Ayigav Hashem is on Alosha, also it says Ayigav Asher Asa'ara.
Emergency alert.
Well,
when it says magnitude earthquake has occurred, residents are advised to remain indoors. Where? To pull 9/11 if injured. That's there. That was the
40 years ago, they didn't send out this Amber Alert. Even if there were cell phones, they wouldn't have sent it out. This is just an opportunity for everyone. Everyone, it's just an opportunity for everyone to go and create panic. Create panic.
Rabbi Yisisa, when it's talking about the eagle, it says both.
That's what he made the eagle. That's what they made. There's no discussion. That's what they made. Okay, that's what they made when they brought the Kibbutz. Okay, Rabbi, it's not. Let's not get into the.
There's two things that went on.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to bring out. Okay, Rabbi, we'll have a whole day today to study and analyze the earthquake. Right now, let's just for a few minutes, let's learn about the parasha. The whole Shabbos that we talk about the earthquake. For a few minutes, let's learn about the parasha. The parasha we have over here is a very important question. In Parashas Tetzave, and again in Parashas Tzav, Aaron was instructed to bring a unique set of korbanos to inaugurate the Mishkan, where Rashi says the purpose of those korbanos was to be mechaper for the Egel. Now, when we begin Parashas Shemini, we learn that Aaron is going to bring another set of korbanos, different animal. This time it's an egel, and there's going to be an ayil as a korban oil. There's no shlomim in this case, but Klal Yisrael is also going to participate and bring five animals in order to inaugurate the Mishkan and atone for the chet ha'egel. What's going on over here? How many sets of korbanos do you need to atone for the egel? So I'm suggesting to you that the answer to this question lies in one word. Back in Parashas Tetzave and in Parashas Tzav, the korbanos were to atone for the egel, for the ma'aseh ha'egel, the ma'aseh ha'egel. In Parashas Shemini, it's not just the ma'aseh ha'egel; it's called the ma'aseh ha'egel she'osa.
One's the event, and one's the action.
One is the action. It's a different. Now translate this into modern, into today's day and age. Let's say a person there's an event, there's something which happens, and the community doesn't have error. The community, people, or person, even a person himself, one individual, he doesn't have error.
It's like you plan the insurrection, and the ones who did the insurrection.
Even talk about the person himself. It's the fact. Even the same person, the fact that an avera happened, there was an occurrence where chet occurred. Chet, the fact that an avera occurred, damages society. If such a thing happened in our community, if such an event was possible, such a terrible thing happened, the result, then we need to do teshuvah. Because to take away the damage of what happened, let's say a person, he damages a thief, a violent person, he destroys a car. He takes a brick and he throws the brick at a windshield, and he smashes the windshield and caused the car enormous damage. So the first thing over he got to go do is restitution. You got to go pay for the damage. The car has been damaged. The car has been destroyed. The car has to be replaced. Okay. We replaced the car. It's over? It's not over. What was going through your mind? You, who picked up that brick and threw the brick, what was going through your mind? How did that happen? Where are you coming from? What kind of life are you living where it was possible for you to go engage in such an activity? That itself needs atonement. There are two degrees of atonement for every avera. An avera creates a new reality. The world is not the same. The avera has damaged society. that damage has to be repaired. Number two, after the damage is repaired, you need to be repaired. Asher Asa, back in Parshas Tetzaveh and the Parshas Saf, we are focusing on the damage that the world has experienced because there was something called the Chet HaEgel. I heard. But just fine, Seki Sisa as well. But there is a damage that has occurred. Now, Parsha Shmini, we're focusing on the investigation, the commission. Every time there, you know, there is a the 9/11. After 9/11, the 9/11 commission. COVID, how come there's no COVID? One of the big questions in politics, you pay attention to politics, is how come there was no COVID commission? How come there was no investigation to what has happened? There was no COVID commission. There's one of the big tainus. There's no COVID commission to sit down and form a body of people to go investigate. January 6th, there's a commission. A commission. It is an event that happened. So right away, repair the damage. Okay, you build a big fence around the Capitol. An event happened, should never happen again, so you build a fence around the Capitol. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. There's no longer any danger. What happened? There's a commission. Kachi darko shalaylam. First, you repair the damage. Then there's a commission to understand what happened. When it comes to kabbalists to appreciate, when a person does an avera, rachmana litzlan, and you do teshuva, the first thing that has to be done is, this should never happen again. Safeguards have to be erected. How did this happen? A person was nichshol in doing an avera. First thing I have to do is set up safeguards that something like this cannot physically happen again. And then, it ain't over. There has to be accountability to understand how did this happen. The difference between the set of korbanos that appears in Parshas Tetzaveh, Kisisa, and Parshas Tzav is repair the Maasei HaEgel. Lo Ye'oseh came to Yisrael. Lo Ye'oseh came to Yisrael. There was a Maasei HaEgel. This is unacceptable. Now in Parashat Shmini, there's another set of korbanos that are being offered by Aaron and Klal Yisrael together. A whole new set. Whole different type of different animals. Klal Yisrael brings 5 animals. Aaron brings 2 animals. And what's the chiluk? We already went through this. Rashi, one word. Maaseh ha'egel she'osa. She'osa. Now it's time to make a cheshbon ha'nefesh. How did this even happen? Even though it can never happen again. Impossible for it to happen again. We put up safeguards. But how did this even happen to begin with? Okay, Atkan, another vart. I want to show you the different vart. Now this vart, I believe, is a very important vart. The next vart is, we have over here, Klal Yisrael is told to bring 2 things. A Seir Izim Lichatos, and an Egel V'Cheves B'nei Shana Temimim Le'oila. There's a medrash, the medrash halacha, the Toiras Koyhanim. Toiras Koyhanim says, why was Klal Yisrael on this day of the inauguration of the Mishkan told to bring 2 different animals, a soir and an egel? And the medrash Toiras Koyhanim says, the soir is to be mechaper on the chait of Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef, they took a soir, they slaughtered it, and they dipped his clothing, the kutoines, in blood, in the dam of the soir. The seir izim is an atonement for the chait of Mechiras Yosef, which culminated in fooling their father by dipping his garment in blood, the blood of the soir. What is the egel for? To atone for the chait or egel. The Mepharshim, many of the Mepharshim ask this question, and they give an answer. I want to suggest a different answer to their question. Why is it that until now, we don't find anywhere in the entire story of Yetzias Mitzrayim a complaint, a tevia on Klal Yisrael for atonement for Mechiras Yosef? Right away, as soon as they did the Chet HaEgel, right away, you did the Egel. Hashem says, I'm going to wipe you guys out. You're finished. Moshe has to be mispalel mechena misifrech asher kosofta uvyon pokti pokadeti. And then we have Moshe, he takes the egel and he gives them to drink from the water, like he tests them like a saita. And they bring the parah aduma. And Aaron already brought one set of karbanos. And now we're going to bring another set of karbanos. We see that there is accountability for chet. When it came to the egel, this already is level 5. We've already gone through many, many different stages of accountability. You did an avera, the chet or egel, and we're not letting you get away with Ash. I'm not letting you get away with the Chet Egel. There's going to be accountability. And we go through many, many different stages, different levels, different requirements in order to acknowledge and atone for the Chet Egel. Once upon a time, there was a Chet of Mechiras Yosef. Could you imagine? They took their brother and they sold him as a slave. And they took his clothing and dipped his clothing into blood and said to their father, Hakerna. And there's been no accountability, there's been no mention of this until Parsha Shmini. Parsha Shmini, on record, in the Medrash, is the first time when the Ribbono Shel Olam demanded accountability for the chet of Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef took place a long time ago, in Parsha Vayeshev. And all of a sudden now, in Parsha Shmini, oh, now, I want you to slaughter a Seir Izim to atone for the Seir Izim that you slaughtered and you dipped the clothing, Yosef's clothing, into its blood. What took so long? So along come the Mefarshim and they say the general answer is that, you know, it's the straw that broke the camel's back. Hashem really was willing to be moichel klal Yisrael for the chet mechiras Yosef. But when they did the chet of the egel, it awakened the chet of mechiras Yosef. If the only thing klal Yisrael did wrong was the chet of mechiras Yosef, Hashem would have said to klal Yisrael, mocholoch, 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 I forgive you. Everyone makes mistakes. But now that they sin by worshipping the egel, and here on this day, by Yom HaShmini, Klal Yisrael is required to bring an egel to atone for the chet ha-egel, that triggers an awakening of the chet of Mechiras Yosef, and now you are accountable for the chet of Mechiras Yosef. Why? Why are the two related and connected? And I think the answer is very relevant to our society and the way we live. There are many, many mahalchim in how it came about that the brothers sold Yosef as a slave. And one of the mahalchim, one of the common mahalchim is the brothers sincerely believed that Yosef was an existential threat to Klal Yisrael. His ideas, his hashkofa of Yadus, were a little bit off. It wasn't their flavor of Judaism. Yosef was a Renaissance man. No, he liked to engage in other things. His hashkofa wasn't just Torah, 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 Torah. Yosef ended up becoming the Mishnah Lamelech. Yosef spoke many languages. Yosef had beautiful hair. Yosef enjoyed life. He took in the entire world. There are different ideas. Yosef had a different hashkofa than his brothers. And his brothers felt that the hashkofa of Yosef, their brother, is dangerous. If other people learn from Yosef, they're going to create a version of Judaism that is not authentic. This is a very popular approach. And they sat as a bezdin. And they sat with the Ribbono Shel Olam, he was number 10 on their bezdin, and they took a psak halacha that Yosef, his right now, Yosef, you know, he's religious, he's orthodox, but his hashkafa is a little bit off. Just a little bit off. And therefore, if Klal Yisrael will develop and grow as it should into the future generations, his crack in his foundation will spread and it will destroy Klal Yisrael. People will be influenced by him. This is what it says in the Chazal.
And that's key of peace?
Yeah, and their view, because over here they are the foundation of Klal Yisrael. So for Matan Torah, and this Mahalech, his Mahalech, his approach to Judaism is flawed. And even though right now it's like a Ben Sura Moira. What did the Ben Sura Moira do? What did he do? He did nothing. He stole a piece of meat and drank some wine. What did the kid do? Al Shem Soifai. The Hashkaf of this kid is a 17-year-old, how old was he? 17 years old? 17 years old, we can already see by the type of questions that he's asking in Beis Medrash, and by the type of clothing he's wearing, and the way he brushes his hair, and the fact that we caught him with some newspapers. This is the foundation of Klal Yisrael. If we let this continue and exist, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a Churban. Go down 1,000 years from now, this Mahalik will destroy Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Hayro Asha, with Danim Al Shem Soifai, like a Ben Soirer Umoire, he has to be eliminated.
Yaakov wasn't even consulted.
He was not consulted because Yaakov was old school. Yaakov wouldn't go to his own child. They brought the Ribbono Shel Olam into the Beis Din. He was part of the Beis Din.
So then we do see from this how people make such wrong decisions.
Yeah, we certainly do.
And we should have jumped to those conclusions.
Yet the Ribbono Shel Olam was willing to be Meichel Klal Yisrael for what they did. But, and here comes the Chiddush, but what happened? One day Klal Yisrael gets up and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, goodbye. Goodbye. Like they said, goodbye. Goodbye. We have another God. We have another God. You see this golden calf? This egel? This is our God. Eile Elohecha Yisrael. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I don't understand. You wanted to kill your brother because he wasn't religious enough. He wasn't following the right Hashkafa. And his deviation in the Hashkafa was viewed as an existential threat to Yadus. And here you are, you religious, pious people, you have gone off the derech entirely. You're not even religious anymore altogether. You've exchanged me for a cow, an ego. So what were you thinking then before? You're not even religious, and you're passing judgment on a person who you feel that in his religion is not 100% perfect. If you are perfect and you have a religion, and you are a straight shooter, and you worship Hashem, you serve Hashem, and there's an element in society that you feel is not upholding the highest standard, which can lead to a churban and klal yishol, that's a forgivable offense. Because who then will preserve the religion? You! You are authentic, true, God-fearing people. And you are serving Hashem with b'chol levavcha or b'chol nafshecha. And you have a mistaken understanding that a person that dresses a little bit different has other interests. And is not like you 100% can be an existential threat to your religion. Okay! It's a terrible Avera. Terrible Avera. But we could understand where it comes from. Because at least you're practicing your religion. But you're now telling me that you quit? You quit? You quit the religion? You're not God-fearing people? You give up? You threw in the towel? You'll go worship an idol? So there's no religion altogether anymore. Yosef, at least he would preserve the religion in his way. At least he'll have something. Now that you've gone off the derech by worshipping the eagle, the chait of what you have done to Yosef is magnified and is brought to life in a way that no one ever saw coming. Bishloima, you're going to go, you're going to hold the faith, you're going to be honest and sincere, Yirei Shamayim, and live your Torah Hashkafa, the MS. And there's one guy out there that doesn't fit into your mold and you want to push him out. That's a terrible Avera. But okay, I understand. I understand there's a logic behind it. But if you are not going to be religious and now you're going to pass judgment on someone else who's not perfect in your understanding of that religion, are you out of your minds? Mind your own business. You're not even religious. You're not even religious, and you're having kindness on someone who's not religious enough? This is a mockery. That is why now, if you're going to bring a carbon to atone for the egel, you bring an egel and a cheves, we're going to now revisit the chait of Mechiras Yosef, the Seir HaChatos. And this is so relevant today in our society, where every single person is always, that's human nature, the human condition, we're passing judgment on other people. We're always doing that. We're passing judgment. This guy, he's an extremist, he's too modern, he's too from, he has this hashkafa, that hashkafa, a Zionist, a this and a that. And therefore we dismiss them. We dismiss them. This is not the future of Judaism. This flavor. Baskin-Robbins has 31 flavors. Some of them have to go. We have to optimize. We'll make Baskin and Robbins down to 26 flavors. Some of them need to be eliminated. But when you decide that you're not eating ice cream anymore, how dare you? At least to dismiss someone, like which is a chet, an ultimate chet of bin adam lachavero, and you're religious, your values in your hashkafa, are you true? Are you true to your values, what you believe to be correct? If you're not even true to what you believe correct, you have major flaws, how dare you judge someone else? We never had an issue with the chait of Mechiras Yosef. Masha hoya kvar hoya. Everyone has skeletons in their closet. Forget about it. Masha hoya kvar hoya. But when Klal Yisrael worship the Egel, then we got big problems. Then they start opening up the books. You are willing to worship an Egel after you went and you dismissed Yosef at Tzaddik? You should not, if you're going to worship the Egel, so goodbye, you're out of here. Let Yosef at Tzaddik live. Let him live and practice the religion the way he wants to practice the religion. How dare you be the one to be the shofet on what is the hashkafa, the correct hashkafa, if you're not even part of the hashkafa? Okay, next vart, quick next vart. This one I want to shul chazara. We learned in, very quickly. We learned in Sefer Tehillim. It's an important point in this week's parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Shechina came down to this world, Rashi tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, he blessed Moshe and Aaron together, blessed the Jewish people. And Rashi tells us, what was the blessing? V'hinoyam. V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu leinu masi leinu konu leinu masi leinu konu. In Parshas Pekudei, after everyone in Klal Yisrael brought to Moshe Rabbeinu the building materials, and they fashioned all of the parts of the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu blessed the Jewish people. And Rashi there says, what was the blessing? V'hinoyam. So the question is, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a different bracha? He gave the same bracha every time? In Parshas Pekudei, after all of the building materials and the parts of the Mishkan were brought to Moshe Rabbeinu before the assembly, Moshe gave a bracha, V'hinoyam. Rashi's Mamash, Rashi in Parash Pekudei, in the Parash Pekudei. And in this week's Parasha, when Moshe assembled the Mishkan and they brought the Korbanos and the Shechina comes down, Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, V'hinoyam. Why did Moshe say give the bracha, the exact same bracha twice? So we learned very recently, this week probably, or last week, the translation of the bracha. V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu leinu. May the pleasantness of Hashem be upon us. And then comes two parts to this bracha. Ma'ase yodeinu konino oleinu. And then it says ma'ase yodeinu koninehu. What's the chilik between ma'ase yodeinu konino oleinu versus ma'ase yodeinu koninehu? So we explained an idea based on the Malbim. The Malbim says, when a person builds a building, if you're a builder and you lay a foundation and you build pillars and beams, one floor, another floor, and the building is complete and you walk into the building, who is supporting who? The building is supporting the builder. There's an earth, there's a foundation, there are beams, there are planks, there are levels. And when you walk into the building, you go to the roof, you stand on the building is supporting the person. In the world of Ruchnius, it's just the opposite. If you accomplish something, if you are Messiah a Masechta, if you do a Chesed, if you achieve any Ruchnius achievement, your Maaseh Yodeinu is resting upon you. Your Rotzoin, your Nedivas Lev to serve Hashem is the foundation for your spiritual accomplishments. It all starts, I want to serve. You want to serve? So let me do something. Let me learn a Masechta. You finish a Masechta, Maaseh Yodeinu. Look what I've done. My achievement is resting. Maaseh Yodeinu Konuda. Konuda means to rest. A foundation, a base, a cane, a base. Maaseh Yodeinu is Konuda Aleinu. Is resting upon us. Your achievements in Ruchnius rest upon the foundation of your Ratzon. And then, what happens? Your achievements then serve as a foundation for Hashem's presence. Maaseh Yodeinu Konenehu. Who means Him. Him with a capital H. I want to do Chesed. So what do? I build an institution of Chesed. And then when I build the institution of Chesed, what happens? The Shekhinah comes down and it rests upon my institution of Chesed. So there's a two-step process. I become a foundation for an accomplishment, and that accomplishment in turn is now the foundation for the Hashroas Hashchina. Moshe Rabbeinu blessed Klal Yisrael v'hi Noam twice. But in Parshas Pekudei, it was Maaseh Yodeinu Konuna Oleinu. In this week's Parsha, when the Shechinah came down on the Mishkan, it's Maaseh Yodeinu Konenehu. In Parshas Pekudei, there was no Shechinah. The people had Nedivas Halev to donate money and objects and construct the parts of the Mishkan. And they brought it to Moshe. There, Moshe blessed them. Wow. Maaseh Yodeinu Konuna Aleinu. Everything that you have achieved is resting upon your Nediva slave. In this week's parasha, Moshe assembles all the parts and the Shekhinah comes down. It's part two. Maaseh Yodeinu, your achievements, Konenehu, is now serving as a foundation for the resting of Hashem's divine presence. So even though it seems like Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Klal Yisrael the same exact bracha twice, once in Parshas Pekudei, once in Parshas Shmini, it's not so. In Parshas Pekudei is the first part, Maaseh Yodeinu Konuna Aleinu. And in Parshas Pekudei, it's Maaseh Yodeinu is now going to the next level, Konenehu. Now, last word for today, and that is, we cannot forget that this is Parshas HaChodesh. This week, with two Sifrei Torah, we lay in a Chodesh Hazeh Lechem Reish Chodashim, a very beautiful Lav Torah. Now, Ramachal always likes, we always like to discuss, in Parshas Bereishis, what does it say in the beginning, for the first Rashi, Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo Hoya Torah L'Haskil Ela Me'ach Chodesh Hazeh Lechem. We should start with a Chodesh Hazeh Lechem. So why then did we start with a Chodesh Hazeh Lechem? Why did we start with Ma'aseh Bereishis? Because im yoimru umay sa'olam listim atem. Ke listim atem. You've stolen Eretz Yisrael. What do you say back to them? It's Hashem's world. He created it. And he gave it to the ones who he wants. Now think about it. Here's the point. Right now, you know, we're in a very big crisis. Yesterday, everyone knows the news yesterday. Biden, the President of the United States, spoke very harshly to the Prime Minister of Eretz Yisrael. And if you pay attention to the news, it was a news conference where Dorsey, he said explicitly, he said there's a contradiction that on October 7th, the President of the United States said that we stand with Israel and we give them our unwavering,
ironclad,
unwavering support. Today, the president said he's not supporting Israel. It's not unwavering, explicit. So which one is it? Is it, this is what Dorsey said to the press secretary of the president, not the woman, the male, the white male.
The Defense Department spoke.
The Defense Department. Don't kill me for saying that, right? Okay.
His name is Miller.
He said, listen to the clip. Which one is it? Which one is it? Is it the we stand with Israel, unwavering support, ironclad? It doesn't seem like that today from the reports that come out of the conversation. Doesn't seem. So, you know how politicians talk. No, whatever, it's not important. But we're in a very dangerous matzav. Yesterday was a revelation, Erev Shabbos Parsha Chodesh. Listim atem. Kivashtem. You've conquered the land of the Zion Amimim. The world like never before, with technology, social media, the internet. The world has never spoken with such noise. Listim atem. What do we say? What do we say? How do we respond? How do we respond? Rashi tells us, look at my Sibereshis. It's Hashem's world. Yoimru lohem. Who's lohem? It means to them, what means to us? Whatever. Why am I saying this? When was the world created? It's machlokes in the Gemara. It's machlokes. Some said the world was created in Tishrei. Some said the world was created in Nisan. Halacha lemais. In halacha. At the end of the day, you can debate all you want. End of the day, you have to have a psak halacha. You have to take a vote. You have to have a psak. All the rabbis have to come together and take a vote, and you follow the majority of Zehu. We paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua, the world was created in Nisan. The Haraya, we make the brach of Ma'aseh Bereishis, okay, on Birchas Hachama. That's the halacha. The world was created in Nisan. It's Noyeh halacha l'maisa. That's the psak halacha. What about in Chodesh Tishrei? That's when Hashem conceived of the idea, whatever this means, all very mystical. The machshava to create the world took place in Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah, Hayom Haras Olam, Hayom Yav HaMishpat, Ma'aseh Bereishis, we talk about that's the machshava of the world. But halacha, the world was created. Now, if that's the case, if the world was created in Chodesh Nisan, and tomorrow, the Shabbos, is Parshas HaChodesh, Mevorei Chodesh Nisan, the creation of the world, shouldn't we be laning tomorrow? Bereshis bara Elokim, Es Hashamayim v'Es Haaretz, v'Haaretz. Tomorrow we shall be Bereshis. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. We're coming into the new month, Nisan, creation. And in Tishrei, what do we do in Tishrei? What is the climax of the Yom Noiraim? Simchas Torah, Chosim Bereshis, we lain Bereshis bara. When you start the Torah, if you want to represent a chavivus of the Hascholas HaTorah, what is the Torah? Torah means instruction. The first instruction should be HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. Really, we got it all wrong. In Tishrei, when we celebrate the Torah from Bereish until Parshas Bo, that's like the introduction, that's the foreword, that's the stuff, you know, the copyright. That's, you know, all the stuff they write in the beginning, the publisher, the copyright, thank you. Let's get down to business. Let's start with the first chapter. The first chapter is HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. If we're celebrating Torah, we should begin with HaChodesh Lochem. And in Chodesh Nisan, we should be reading Ma'aseh Bereishis. We got it all wrong. It's just the opposite. And the answer is no, we didn't get it all wrong. It's Ma'aseh Bereishis. And when it comes to Ma'aseh Bereishis, Rashi in the beginning says, the most important, we're now holding in Ma'aseh Bereishis. What is the purpose of Ma'aseh Bereishis? What is the purpose? The purpose of Ma'aseh Bereishis is the mitzvahs. Is the mitzvahs. And when we read tomorrow the mitzvahs, when we read the purpose, we're focusing tomorrow, it's Maaseh Bereishis, and we are reading the purpose. It's like on Shavuos. Shavuos is the Yom Hadin for what? The Peiroi Sa'olam. What do you do on Shavuos? You put out trees. You're supposed to bring trees. The trees are the father of the fruit. If you should be celebrating fruit. No. If today is the Yom Hadin on the fruit, you go back to the trees. Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Lo Ilanos. And what do you do on Tu B'Shvat? It's the trees. Eat fruit. You always got to be one step ahead. You always have to. Tomorrow is Maaseh Bereishis. Yeah. And what's the purpose of Maaseh Bereishis? The purpose of Maaseh Bereishis is HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. But when we read HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem this year, in Tishrei, when we read about Maaseh Bereishis, it forces us to reflect. What's the purpose? We should be reading it's the Torah. It's the Schachus of Torah. So we reflect on the other angle. Okay, that has to be understood. But this year, more than ever, this year, Klal Yisrael is in a very dangerous matzav. And tomorrow, it's not an accident. It's not a coincidence that we lay tomorrow against the backdrop of what's going on in the world. It's a very, very, very scary time. We read HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim. And that forces us to reflect, wait a minute. This is not what we're supposed to be laying tomorrow. What we should be laying tomorrow is Maaseh Bereishis. And what is Maaseh Bereishis? Is the response of listim atem. And what is the answer? Hashem created the world. Get lost. Hashem's his world. He gave Eretz Yisrael to who he wants, not to you. That's not an answer for them. That is not an answer for them. They're not going to accept that answer. But that's exactly why we lain HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. To remind us that the world is a world of Torah. If you just focus on history and creation, you're going to get nowhere. If you focus on the purpose of creation, the purpose, Shelo Hoya Torah L'Haskel Ella, with the first mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, and you embellish religion, Yirat Shamayim, then our appreciation of Maaseh Bereishis, it was given to them, and not given to us and not to them, then it makes sense. Then there is an emuna and the hashkafa of why Eretz Yisrael is ours, then it comes to life. If you just look at history, Maaseh Bereishis, and you tell them, Hashem made the world, he gave it to who he wanted, and he took it away from them and gave it to us, if you leave out of that element, that story, the sanctity of HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, the Klal Yisrael is the Am HaNivchar, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Ta'avdunis Lokim Alohar HaZeh, then Maaseh Bereishis has no meaning. Maaseh Bereishis, the ability to respond to the Umay Sa'olam, can only be fueled and energized and given life when you understand HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. Indeed, the Torah should have started with HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. And that's exactly what we're doing, because we need that HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem in order to awaken the emes of Maaseh Bereishis. It may not work for them, but it works for us. And when we have that emunah, it trickles down. If we are fully with the program, the male of the goyim, they get a sense of Yirat Shamayim to a degree where they acknowledge the emes. But if we're not going to be with the program, then what can we expect? And that is why it is not a coincidence. It is a davar. Tomorrow, this week, is the beginning of Maaseh Bereishis, but we jump ahead to the first mitzvah in order to give the actual creation the ruchnius flavor of Maaseh Bereishis. Okay, Rabbi Isai, have a wonderful Shabbos.